Welcome to the Brands Working Remote Talking Influencers Q&A. We're taking our fireside chat to the Grin Gets Real podcast. Now you can listen and learn beyond the webinar experience. During our fireside chat, I sat with Dwayne Wheat Jr., the marketing manager from Shell Games, to talk all things influencer marketing. From the value of identifying the right influencer for your program, heads up folks, this is a constant theme throughout the webinar and also this podcast, to the key to getting the content that you need from your influencers. Dwayne shared insights about the Shell Games program, a program that is focused on quality over quantity with goals of brand awareness, conversions, sales, and even building a community that is engaged and true Shell Games fans. In this podcast, we wrap up the live Q&A and get down to answering all of the questions you had during the live fireside chat. And folks, he spares no details, so buckle up. Put your AirPods in, turn up the volume, and get ready for a little influencer marketing Q&A with Dwayne from Shell Games. All right, Dwayne, excited to see you. We definitely got a lot of questions from our fireside chat. Super excited. Let's just get right into it. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Excellent. All right. So because this audience is typically more on the rebellious side and a little non-mainstream, do you have trouble finding influencers or having influencers stay on brand or follow guidelines?
Well, we don't work with content creators that don't follow guidelines. So we haven't had an issue with that.
Excellent. And I think that also speaks to the fact that you are selective, right?
That's right. Like
you're finding the right influencers. There's so many arms and benefits to really slowing down to speed up when it comes to finding influencers. And you definitely talked a lot about that during the webinar. What do you think about other kinds of products which are not games or don't have a direct relationship with this market? Is there any tips or are there any tips about a different strategy for physical products that you can share with us on working with content creators?
Yeah, I mean, I still think that making sure that you do your research to see what type of products these content creators have worked with in the past. Grin has a great dashboard in the influencer report. You can look to see their posts and previous sponsored posts. So you can see what type of content they've done before, what their voice is, how they position a product. You can kind of see if they use the messaging from the brand. And so those are things that you want to look at, right? Not only do you want them to put the content in their voice, but you also, depending on your product, if you want a positive slant or a humorous slant, that that content creator is able to deliver that for you. So I think a lot of the research, the discoverability, the social listening all still apply to physical good or service. I also think that whether it's a unboxing video or, some type of review, that you want to, provide as many assets as you can to them. So, if you're worried about people being rebellious, that you don't really give them the opportunity to, because you provided them with so much graphics, you provided them with messaging and sales information, that they have everything there to be used. And giving them options on how to use that, there's no need for them to rely on their own thinking whenever you provided stuff for them.
I agree. I feel like the overarching theme of the fireside chat, and I feel like also is going to be of the Q&As, is really taking that time to find the right influencers. Like that, there are just so many benefits to it.
Honestly, the Wild Wild West is over, guys. Like, we have so many platforms like Grin. We have jobs that are 100% influencer marketing and curating these programs and creators. Like, we have to be intentional now. We have to start building practices around content creation that is not just good for the brand, but good for the content creator. A lot of these people are trying to be professional influencers or professional content creators, and trying to, like we said, trying to just spray your products all around. It's not helpful to them, and it's not helpful to your brand.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to hear that you use the audience insights reports or the influencer insights reports within Grin to really kind of help you vet out that right influencer as well, too, because there is so much data within that report. It's almost like, all right, what do I look at? But it's a great way to identify what are they currently doing? What other brands do they currently represent and sponsor? And do you like that? Is it a competitor? So there are a lot of ways to be able to leverage that information. Now, do you use any data to identify content creators and influencers? And if so, what? Because I'm also a big believer there's not one metric that's going to say yes, right? But there's probably a combination of them, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So for example, I like using content creators based on that audience insights reports that are about 80% and over in credibility. Just because we can see that a lot of their posts are genuine. Yeah. I know there are going to be some sponsored posts, which is great because people make a living on it. And so I'm totally cool with that. And I think that's great. But that's not necessarily the only thing we look at. We also look at, I tend to like our engagement rate for nano to micro influencers to be between 1% and 3%. But again, it's not a one size fit all. There could be one who's just starting out and is under 1% or has a large following and get a lot of views, but they don't engage as much on something like Twitch because Twitch isn't an engagement type platform. I also look at lookalikes. If they have a high credibility, low engagement rate, but their, you know, lookalikes are all VR or all narrative games. I was like, okay, no, this is somebody I want to, you know, reach out to see if there's a way to work together. So just like you said, there are multiple touch points that we can, you know, decide like, well, that's kind of low, but this makes sense though. So let's run with this and see what happens.
Absolutely. I mean, if it was as easy as looking at one metric, everybody would do it.
Everybody would be doing it. Yeah.
Exactly. There'd be no need. Okay. With such long form content on YouTube and Twitch, how do you make sure that the content being created is not only on brand, but also appropriate for your target audience?
Our target audience will hopefully, if I did my research right, would be their audience. If what they're saying and doing works for their audience, it should work for our target audience. Now, with that being said, there are, you know, some creators. I'm typically not a big fan of like the foul mouth kind of stuff whenever you're playing a game. So yeah, that type of profanity stuff's not ideal for me. But whenever you look at the audience, you know, some people, you know, enjoy that type of content. So, you know, I have to kind of peel myself away from it. And plus, we're working, you know, with 10 to 25, you know, content creators at a time. So it's not just that one person advocating and being our, you know, number one ambassador. But even though we are intentional, there are some hits and misses, which is okay. But we make sure that our research dictates that our target audience matches that content creator's audience.
Perfect. Now, do you gift the game or do you pay influencers? So what does your program just kind of look like in general? Is it a mix of gifting and payments and maybe there's commission? I'm not sure. And if you do both, kind of what's that breakdown look like for you guys in for an ideal program?
Yeah, it's a mix. You know, some creators just want keys to play and when that happens, it's a little bit harder to create a relationship because they're just looking for, you know, content for their platforms, not necessarily looking to build a relationship. And so whenever we do a combination, a game key or gifting, some type of swag, and then some paid model, whatever that looks like, depending on the number of content and the length of the relationship, that really seems to be the sweet spot for finding the content creators that we can work with for a long period of time. We haven't done too much with commission yet. I would like to. We're looking into that. I think that's the next step in our program to find out how we can work with content creators to create content and based on that content, be able to have a consistent stream of revenue for them. I think that would be a fantastic thing that we can offer for our content creators. And we're looking into that.
I love to hear that you're evolving your program. There's always so much room to grow. Like sometimes it's, you know, just getting it up and off the ground, but there are so many things that you can test and like dials that you can twist and levers that you can pull up and down. I really enjoyed learning that you're moving beyond also YouTube and Twitch and exploring TikTok and Instagram when it comes to it, because it really shows that everyone's program can definitely grow. I think traditionally you would think Twitch and YouTube, but the fact that, you know, you're finding different mediums and you're trying to test it out to see if it is a fit for your program is fantastic.
I mean, we got to go to where our audience is, right?
So. Exactly. Now, and I don't necessarily want you to give away the secret sauce when it comes to just kind of answering this question, because it is a great question in regards to especially YouTube influencers. But do you find that there is a rate range when it comes to the content that you're asking for? Can you give an example of like what you have seen? And maybe it's not necessarily like what's in your program, but I think that a lot of people are, one of the things is always, how do I budget for this? Is this the right rate? Because they're sending me this rate sheet. Should I just go by that? It is a little bit of the Wild West when it comes to influencer payments. So have you seen just kind of a trend in the YouTube range rates?
Like I said, I'm very selective and I'm picky. And sometimes my marketing director kind of gave me the lead to just run with it. So I created a rate sheet for us and working with content creators on almost every platform. Whenever I look at their content, like their engagement rate, how frequently they post, their number of followers, the amount of lookalikes that we've worked with in the past, I go through a particular column. I say, okay, well, based on this, based on our past experience, here's the rate range that we are willing to pay. And so I've done that all in-house for us. And so that's what we rely on. And so if people come to us for a particular price, I could say, well, this is what we've done in the past, and we are willing and ready to move forward with this price and then negotiate that way. And typically, whenever I lead with that, I get very little pushback.
Okay, so this one you've sort of answered, but this is a little bit of a different angle. Have you dipped into product seeding, which is kind of like, for your example, you know, giving people the keys without asking them, though, for anything back? Do you just product gift to have people try out without the expectation of content creation ever?
We still use some of the services that we started back in 2016, right? So we still just give out keys to some people who ask them. So I would attribute that as like a top funnel approach. They get the keys, they play. It's like, hey, they're actually pretty good. And so I can email them back. It's like, hey, I saw your content. That was the key that we provided you with. That's really good. Have you considered our content creator program? And I send them the landing page. I was like, hey, think about it. And so, you know, we can kind of use that as, if there were creators that I've been unaware of, they get a key, they play it, the game, I like what they do. I can use that as just a seeding program for our overarching content creation program.
Now, your program, when we had discussed it during the fireside chat, we had talked about how you use it or you leverage the content creators for brand awareness. When you're looking at brand awareness for content creators, what are you exactly looking for? Is it, how do you not go back to, okay, I need reach, I need more eyes? Does it go back to the quality for you?
Because VR is hard to stream. And so a lot of the things that we've been doing has been focusing on our VR games. So that's why I keep going back to that. And so virtual reality is hard to stream. And so because that's few people do it, and then creating good VR highlights or VR video is even harder. And so I still, whenever I see people play our game or trying to get people into our content creator program, it is still always quality, because to showcase our games well, it needs to be a high quality video or high quality content. Even our PC games, like that Mission is Complicated I talked about during the webinar, because that game touches a lot of sensitive issues. It yeah. talks about very inclusive. It's a LGBTQIA plus positive. And so some gamers can be insensitive about it. And so, yeah. again, it goes to quality. It goes to the personality. It goes to the audience. So it's still not a prey and prey thing. It's still very intentional for those type of experiences.
And a follow-up to just kind of looking at brand awareness, do you repurpose any of the content that's created?
Yes.
And you, yes. I assume that you post it on your social channels. That's how you repurpose it?
Exactly. Yeah, we repurpose it. We for those who enter in, you know, our content program, and we can, you know, download the videos. We can download the Instagram stories. We can reshare them on our things. We can, you know, create GIFs from them. We can get a screenshot and add a quote from a Steam review, you know, on it that yeah. matches the content creator. So yeah, we do a little bit of everything with that.
I love it. I always feel like that's the secret sauce to influencer marketing, is like doing something more with whatever is created to help support your overall marketing strategy.
The best stuff is like whenever you look at, you know, user generated content, I mean, influencer marketing is just the professional version of that, right? Like, so
yes.
there's still user, there's, it's still being generated and it's still content. It's just the hyped up version of it.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so this is a really great question, and I've never thought about this, but since there have been so many scandals in the gaming community, particularly featuring popular gaming YouTubers, are you gun shy about adding new influencers to your arsenal?
No, I'm not. Again, it goes to how we, you know, look at our, you know, content creators. I mean, a lot of the scandals and things like that have been your top tier, your micro ones. So we avoid those anyway, because though there is some brand awareness, it's not very high. The conversions are very low. The engagement rate is low, and they mostly watch those people for the personality, not so much the content. So while it's important to look at, I'm not too gun shy about it.
You've got a good system in place, and that's why I feel like it helps you not be gun shy about it. To give you some credit there, actually lots of credit when it comes down to it.
Oh, thank you.
So what's your first step in identifying influencers on Twitch for brands looking to get into the space who don't currently have any Twitch gaming influencers?
Gamers play multiple games, right?
Yes.
So what I would do first off is just go onto Twitch and see what games are being played that are very similar to your game, so you know what to expect. And then from there, I would go into Grin and then start. Like, you could look at that creator. You could see if they have a, you know, Instagram and other, you know, channels that you could plug into it, and then you can generate a report and look at lookalikes, and then you can look at their content. It's like, okay, this is what I expect from a content creator on Twitch. From there, you can look at your game and look at your influencer, you know, program, or just your activity. It's like, well, based on what I saw, what could I expect as successful from my experience? And then you can start from there. Then you could do a outreach program by, you know, finding those creators. Like, hey, I saw your content. We're interested in you playing our game. Here's information about it. What does that look like? Or what does that sound like to you? Right? So you can just, you know, start out. Like, you don't need to have, well, you do need to have, you know, you have to have an idea of what you can expect and what success looks like to you, because everything's different. If you want them to just get a bunch of friends and play something like Among Us, you know, then yeah, you could have hours of content. They won't talk about your game, but they'll talk about other stuff while playing your game. And so if that's what you want, then that's great. But, you know, keep in mind, you know, it's very long form and it's not always targeted to that game. And then it's an experience. It's a stream. Yeah. So if you're looking at just getting traction on Twitch, it's just people playing the game, you can do what I mentioned. But also, if you're looking for to gain a community to find a way to charge more conversions, I would look more for those YouTubers that have a Twitch account and approach it that way.
That's some really great advice. And, you know, you've brought up the personality with the last question, and it's definitely not something that I've thought about, but I would imagine it is something that you have to focus on when it comes to gaming influencers. Are they tuning in for like the wow factor of like the influencer themselves? Is it the game that someone's curious about? Or I would imagine it's the perfect balance of both, right?
Yeah, you want the audience to be, you know, engaged and to enjoy the content. But yeah, it's very important that the content creator also enjoys the content. And so, you know, you have the audience that they like the content creators. They're like, oh, I love whenever they play such and such, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a content creator that our audience loves to play our game. So it's like, I can't wait till so-and-so plays this. And so it's like, okay, we've worked with them in the past. We can make that happen.
This is also a really great question. Have you ever had any e-commerce brands reach out to you to partner with and leverage your influencer network, such as a headphone brand, keyboards, chairs, etc.?
Yeah. So one of the things I want to do, I want to create, it's one of the things I've been, you know, looking at, hopefully getting off the ground this year, is a content creator incentive program. So with working with us, you know, creating... It's like, hey, you created 20 pieces of content. Here's headphones from, you know, this person watching this. Yeah. Like that would be fantastic, because it's a way to keep content creators involved with us and expose them to more things to help them be a professional. Because really, like, I want content creators to be able to, you know, have this as their full-time thing and to be able to create content that they, you know, delight and to be fully immersed in the gaming ecosystem. So whatever that looks like. I mean, I reached out to a guy who has an energy drink brand. It's like, hey, maybe if so-and-so, you know, play so much pieces of this content, we send them your product and you get this. And, you know, I didn't get a response. It's like, that's great stuff. That's great for you. And that's great for the content creator. Yeah, no, I love it. I would love to do that.
So how do you see the trend of health-conscious gaming affecting influencer marketing in the space?
There's a lot of initiatives out there to make sure that people play games in a healthy way, that to make sure that they take breaks, to make sure that if they're playing games to escape reality of certain problems, that they make sure that they don't use gaming as a crutch and they should get help whenever they need it. I think that if there are content creators that are able to be advocates for that, to tell their audience to get help whenever they need to get help, to take breaks or to take mental breaks whenever they feel like they need to, I think that that is awesome. And I think that influencer marketing or content creators can really be in the forefront of that. It's like, hey, I didn't stream for the past week because I needed a mental health break. I think that that's great. And I think, you know, as a brand, asking for gamers to play the game, if a content creator came to us, say, he's like, sorry, I couldn't play your game last week. I know that was a task. I just need to step away, that we need to be able to be flexible enough to, you know that they are also a person and not just a, you know, a content creating, you know, machine. Yeah, I think the industry needs to be more conscious of that. I know that we are with that. So I hope that answers the question. So, you know, is there going to be an impact? I think there would have to be, and I think that that's okay. I don't think that that should be a detriment, but to be more conscious and transparent about that should make everybody better off.
Yeah, I think that you answered that question beautifully, actually. Do you find that you have greater success targeting niche content creators who are known to play a specific genre of game versus a broader type of content creator who likes to play a little bit of everything?
It depends on the objective. Whenever we're looking at increasing our audience base, we like the variety gamers. One, because it expands the audience. It shows that they, a puzzle game could be fun, or a RPG could be fun. You know, a role-playing game could be fun. They won't necessarily show all the ins and outs of the game or be particularly skillful at the game as a, you know, niche player or somebody who plays Beat Saber all the time and does all types of crazy things with it. So it depends. If we're looking for, you know, that hardcore gamer, that core audience that we think would really love the game, that's one objective versus increasing the audience base that, like, yeah, you're not going to 100% this game in a couple hours, but you can have fun at it, you know, 15, 20 minutes at a time and enjoy it. And it could be a nice, you know, addition to your game's library. Those are two different objectives. And I think that that's okay.
Now, the final question is more my question because we didn't get to this and you pointed that out at the end of the webinar, but I'd like to just dive into the Discord community. First of all, what is Discord? And tell me about your community. I mean, like, I know it from my son, who's always telling me about it, but it's kind of this arbitrary thing. So what is Discord and what is the Shell Game Discord community?
Yeah, so what Discord is, it's a online platform or online server that you could join, you know, different servers for that are games-based, that are interest-based. And you can, you know, join, you can get roles and just talk about the game. There are games within the Discord servers that you join. So it's just a way to foster a positive experience for like-minded people. And the like-mindedness is that particular game or that particular experience. For us, we have two different Discord servers that are focused on our two of our games, the I Expect You to Die game that, you know, Escape the Room Puzzler, and Until You Fall, that sword fighting roguelite. And so you see our Until You Fall Discord are a bunch of hardcore, competitive gamers that just want new content. They want new weapons. They're trying to get better, faster, stronger all the time. Where our I Expect You to Die folks, they are incredibly curious. They crawl looking for clues. They crawl looking for spoilers. our community marketing specialist, Adam, he does a fantastic job just creating codes, and people are decoding it. It's like, oh, I discovered it. And so those are our sleuths. And there is a small intersect of those are, I would consider, to be the completionists that are competitive and inquisitive with it. And so we use our content creators to drive people's, like, hey, if you like my content, if you like being a part of my community, you'll also like this Discord server because they're like-minded people like you who enjoy the game. And so we see a lot of growth and retention whenever we have people join our Discord.
Well, and it really feeds into just the ROI of influencer marketing. You have such a stellar program because you're able to leverage what your creators are doing because you're also very strategic and specific about who it is that is going to be part of this group, because not only are you building brand awareness, right? I heard that 100%. That's eventually going to turn into that sale because you have opportunities for different points of conversion like the wish list. But on top of that too, you're growing a community, and essentially everybody wants to be able to be part of it. Like, you are embedding Shell Games into gamers out there in so many different avenues. It's a spectacular strategy for running an influencer program. And I'm so happy that you came to the Fireside Chat, that you stayed for the podcast Q&A. Thank you so much for giving us so much of your time and just sharing your experiences.
Oh, thank you, Kata. I really enjoyed it. I hope some of these tips may help some people. Always welcome to ping me on LinkedIn and email, all that good stuff. So happy to chat about influencer marketing and how Grin's been helping us. Yeah, anytime.
I hope that you gain lots of insights during the podcast Q&A. It's always great to hear from marketers who are in the trenches of influencer marketing and learn from their story. If you want to hear more, be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes. And be sure to give us a rating. I wouldn't mind 5 stars, folks, and leave us a review. If you're interested in watching the Shell Games Fireside Chat or other brands that we have featured in the past, like LoomCube, Organifi, Trifecta, Tubby Todd, and more, visit the live events section at grin.co. Check out our resources and blogs while you're there for more tips, tricks, and marketing trends. Until next time, keep grinning.